Thank you, and welcome once again to the radio broadcast of the Independence Baptist Church of Forestdale, Missouri. We're glad you're listening this morning, and we do pray that God would richly bless you as you listen to another portion of His own precious Word. We would like to take this opportunity this morning to invite you to come to services at the Independence Baptist Church. We meet at 124 South Main in the city of Forestdale. Have our Sunday school beginning this morning at 10 o'clock. We have regular classes for every age, and we really invite you to come. Bring your children, bring your family, bring your Bibles, and just study the Word of God with us in Sunday school this morning. And then at 11 o'clock this morning is our regular worship service, and you're welcome to come to this service. And then tonight's services begin at 4 o'clock with our prayer service, and then 4:30 for our evening worship. And then 7 p.m. each Wednesday evening is our midweek Bible study. So you're welcome to come to all these services, and I know that if you're looking for a place where you can worship God, where you'll find a warm welcome, you'll find it at the Independence Baptist Church. We invite your inquiries into those things that we believe, those things that we preach over this radio station, or those things that we practice. You can contact me by writing to the Independence Baptist Church, Post Office Box 70 in Forestdale, Missouri. And I'll be glad to get back with you on any and all of those things. I've said before, I don't like to argue about the Word of God. But I really do like to talk about the Word of God and to discuss those things. So we invite your inquiries into all the things that we believe and practice at the Independence Baptist Church. This morning, we'd like to start a new topic, which I suppose is rather a continuation of the things that we've been preaching about. We've been preaching about the founding of the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ from the book of Matthew chapter 16, verse 13 through verse 20. This morning, we'd like to speak on the subject, when was the church organized? Now, there's 3 points that we covered from Matthew chapter 16, verse 13 through 20. Those 3 points are progressive. They one right after the other. The first point is this, that the beginning of everything is knowing Jesus Christ as your own personal Savior. The fact is, you see, that if you don't know Jesus, nothing else really matters. The beginning of service to God is knowing Jesus as your personal Savior. And then step number 2 comes in. And the next step, step number 2, is knowing where true service comes from. You see, the Lord said, unto him be glory in the church. And so, after salvation, then you find out about the church. And then the third thing we've talked about in Matthew 16, verse 20, is understanding authority and obedience. Those things are very important. Some of the things that we've learned in the last few lessons concerning the church, and that's from Matthew chapter 16, we have learned that the church is an organization. We've learned that the church is an assembly. It is not the saved of all the ages. It is not the saved who are alive on the earth at any given time. The church is an assembly of scripturally baptized believers who have covenanted together to serve and worship God. So now this morning, before we get into the subject of when the church was organized, I'd like to answer this question. Why is it important to study when the church was organized? So we're just taking this one step at a time. Why is it important to even know when the church was organized? Now, point number 1. We ought to know that we can give proper service, honor, and praise unto the Lord. And I think every saved person wants this. The Bible says in the book of Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 21, unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. Now, Since we know that all of God's children really want to give God proper glory and proper honor, we know from this passage, Ephesians 3:21, that we're going to have to give God glory through the church. Well, what is the church? And see, we get back to the same thing. The church is an assembly of saved, scripturally baptized believers who have covenanted themselves together to serve and worship the Lord Jesus Christ. Notice also point number two is that Jesus Christ is the head of the church. Why, that's what we all want anyway, is for Christ to be the head. But putting it into practical perspective day by day, we understand that we serve and worship the Lord in His church that is an assembly, and that we are linked to an assembly. Ephesians 1, verse 22 and verse 23 states that God hath put all things under His feet and gave Him to be the head over all things to the church, which is His body, the fullness of Him that filleth all in all. And so, if we're going to live our lives and give proper glory and honor to God, we're going to give it to God in that assembly that belongs to Him. And I have to say right here, and you know this is so, that every assembly is not the assembly of God. There's a lot of secular assemblies, and there's a lot of clubs and a lot of organizations. But we're talking about giving God the glory and the honor in His kind of church and not in another at all. And I know that we must struggle in this life to give God glory and honor, but understanding what the church is shows us the way that we can really honor and praise and glorify God the way He wants us to honor Him. Point number three. Before we get into the actual time when the church was organized, we want to notice some of the things that happened before the day of Pentecost during the personal ministry of Jesus Christ. And what we're doing here is just taking the church of the Lord Jesus Christ and putting it where Jesus put it, during His own personal ministry. A lot of folks mistakenly believe that the church was organized on the day of Pentecost. But there's not a scripture in the world that says that. And so let's look at what happened, some of the things that happened before the day of Pentecost. Number one, John chapter 1 and verse 6 states, "There was a man sent from God whose name was John." And I think we all know that this is John the Baptist. Well, what did John the Baptist come to do? The Bible said that John the Baptist came to prepare the way for Jesus Christ. John is a man who is sent from God. He is a man whom God ordained even from the womb, that he might come and be a person that God will use and that everybody will flock to because he is a man that is from God. We ought to be able to follow the teachings of John, don't you think? I mean, he's a man that is sent from God. John came to prepare the material, that is, the church members who God, Jesus Christ, would use to build his kind of church. John the Baptist preached the gospel, and he baptized people, and that's all before the day of Pentecost. And then Jesus called them, that is, those saved, baptized people, to follow him and to be members of the first church. Point number two. Somebody would say, well, now all of that's real nice and interesting, but it's really just important that we preach the gospel. Well, I'll have to say to you that I believe preaching the gospel is very important. As a matter of fact, why don't we take it back to its beginning? In the book of Mark chapter 1, notice this. The Bible said, "The beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God." So where did the gospel start before the day of Pentecost? And I know that it started even before this in the book of Mark. But I know that what Mark says is that it's the beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ. That Jesus Christ would come into the world, that he would give his life for the sins of sinners, that he would die on the cross of Calvary, that he would be buried, and that he would raise again the third day. And so we're going to take the gospel all the way back to the book of Mark. And we might add Matthew, Luke, and also John. Notice also that John the Baptist preached the gospel. Matthew chapter 3 and verse 2, John said, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." Not only did John preach this gospel, but Jesus Christ also preached it. Matthew chapter 4, verse 17, Jesus said, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." And then we know that the Apostle Peter, he also preached the gospel, didn't he? On the day of Pentecost. But you know what Peter preached? He preached the same thing that always had. Peter preached the same gospel that Mark talked about, the same gospel that John the Baptist preached, and the same gospel that Jesus preached. The only difference was that the gospel that Peter preached was a fulfilled gospel. Notice this. What about scriptural baptism? Was it ever before Pentecost? Notice this. That we go back to John the Baptist once again. John chapter 1 and verse 6. The Bible said there was a man sent from God whose name was John. Did John baptize? The Bible tells us in the book of Matthew chapter 3 verse 5 and 6 that John administered baptism from God. And that was before the day of Pentecost. Notice what the book of Mark chapter 1 verse 1 through 4 states. It says, "The beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, as it is written in the prophets, Behold, I send my messenger before thy face, which shall prepare thy way before thee. The voice of one crying in the wilderness, Prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his paths straight." John did baptize in the wilderness and preach the baptism of repentance for the remission of sins. So baptism was before the day of Pentecost, went all the way back to John the Baptist, who was a man that was sent from God. Let me ask you this question. Who baptized Jesus Christ? I think if you look in the book of Matthew chapter 3, verse 13 through verse 17, you'll find that John the Baptist baptized Jesus. But guess what? The Bible says, if you'll read there, the book of Matthew 3, verse 13 through 17, if you read there, you'll find that Jesus Christ walked all the way from Galilee to Jordan, a distance of about 60 miles. How would you like that trip? Now, I didn't say you could drive it in your car. That wouldn't take very long to go 60 miles in your car, especially on Interstate 70, right? But what if you had to walk it? We're talking a long way. Why was it that Jesus Christ walked that 60 miles to be baptized of John? Why didn't Jesus, I mean, he's the Son of God, why didn't Jesus just get somebody up in Galilee to baptize him? The fact is, because John was a man that was sent from God, John had the authority to baptize and nobody else did. And that is why Jesus walked all the way down to Jordan, to John, to be baptized of him. Notice something else in the book of John chapter 4, verse 1 and 2, that the early church was already baptizing. The Bible said this, "When therefore the Lord knew how the Pharisees had heard that Jesus made and baptized more disciples than John, though Jesus himself baptized not, but his disciples." This scripture shows that the disciples, that is, the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, was already baptizing people before the day of Pentecost. Well, we see that our time has slipped away from us again this morning. We have not started the point of when the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ was organized. Rather, we have answered the question, why should I study when the church was organized? We'll take up this topic next Sunday morning, the Lord willing. Thank you now for listening.